Hello and welcome to Balancing Your Life Radio. I'm your host, as always, Bonnie Bradshaw. Look, today we're going to be discussing women and our self-worth and what we think of ourselves. You know, we are created with a heart of compassion and passion. We want to help out our family, our loved ones, our children, the church, the community, our children's school, our neighbors, our children's friends, anybody who reaches out to us. We want to be there to support them and help them and raise money for causes and just a number of things. But sometimes we don't take care of ourselves to be able to do that. I shared with them last night that, you know, 2 years ago, everybody needed me. It just seemed like everybody needed me, and they all needed me at the same time. So every time I would make an appointment for my eye doctor or for the dentist or for my physical or, you know, whatever the case may be, something came up and I'd have to change my appointment. Well, it took me over a year to get to all the appointments I wanted to get to, just to be sure that I'm okay. So I'm healthy enough to be able to give and pour myself out to everybody that needs me. So I came to the realization that, you know what, some things that are not life-threatening emergencies are going to have to wait and be put on hold, because if I'm not good, I'm not well, how can I give myself to others? So one of the things that we did, Charleston, South Carolina is the place in my heart to go. I love it there. Just love it. Maybe one day I'll be lucky enough to move there. But there's a place on King Street. I call it a Mardi Gras store. They have so many cool things in there. But every time I go, I purchase masks. And they have the coolest ones I've ever seen. So I go in. And last night, I wanted to take these masks to our support group. Well, I wound up forgetting them, and I guess it was all in God's hands. Because when I went into my office to meet with someone, I'm also a life coach, so when I went in there to meet with a client, I looked up on the wall, and I have a beautiful mirror in there. So I took the mirror down. And when the support group started, I brought the mirror in, and there's a video on YouTube that I'm going to be playing for you in a minute. And this lady, it's a group called the Mrs., and they're out of Texas, and they did the coolest thing. She made a song called I'm Enough. And how many women truly feel that you're enough? You know, we are the daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that created the universe and doesn't make mistakes. And we are created wonderfully, perfectly. But yet, every time we look in the mirror, we see something that we don't like, whether it's a new line, a new wrinkle, or our skin may have changed throughout the years, or our pores are too big, or we've gained too much weight, or we're too skinny, or we don't look like everybody else, or maybe you have eczema, or maybe your eyes aren't blue and you feel like they should be, or maybe you've got small eyes or small lips or a big nose or big lips or a thick neck or whatever the case may be. We always look into the mirror and we see something there that affects us internally, emotionally, and maybe we realize it, maybe we don't. So they did this exercise where they took a mirror and they pre-picked certain women. So the women would walk up to this mirror in this mall, and on one end of the mirror, there's a scale, and you can move the scale with your finger, and it says, how do I feel about myself? And this one lady pushed it all the way to the left, which said, you know, I'm a hot mess, and then woof was the really worst of all. And that's where she put it. So then all of a sudden, the mirror starts talking back about how wonderful she is and how beautiful of a person she is. And then she starts hearing familiar voices, and it's people that know her, love her, family, friends, and they're telling her how much she means to them and how wonderful she is. And of course, you know, there's not a dry eye in the room. And she turns around at the end, and there's her friends and family, and they're all hugging her, and everybody's crying, and it's really an emotional time. But it goes to show that we see ourselves one way, and the rest of our world sees us another way. This morning, I do a lot of research on this subject. I came across this video on YouTube that there is a FBI forensic artist, and they had this guy come into the room, and he had his back. When the ladies would walk in one at a time, his back was to them. He never got to see what they look like. There's a curtain in between, and she goes to the other side, and he'll ask her questions like, "What do you look like?" And she gives an example. "And what do your eyes look like? What are the size? What does your nose look like? Tell me about your chin. Tell me about your life. What does your hair look like? How big are your ears? Your neck?" And then without him seeing them, he draws their picture. Well, then after all the ladies come in and they leave, then of course they're in this room and they're being able to communicate with each other. So they'll come back in and they describe one of the other ladies. So then he draws their description of that same woman. When they come in one by one, they get to see, he gets to meet them, and they get to see for the very first time how they pictured themselves, and they were all really kind of horrible pictures. And then how the world, somebody that didn't even personally know them, how they saw them. And they were soft and tender and sweet. And he had the picture side by side. So it kind of goes to show that, you know, we don't exactly see ourselves. We can wear a mask all day long. We can walk around as executives, business owners, entrepreneurs, teachers, where we're supposed to have this great self-esteem and we're supposed to be mentoring others and teaching others. But deep down inside, most of us have something that hurts. Something either from our childhood or a divorce or somebody has hurt us, and we've all been hurt. I asked the other night, had anybody ever been hurt? Had their feelings hurt? Well, of course, everybody raised their hands. Has anybody ever looked in the mirror and absolutely loved 100% what they saw? Nobody. Nobody, not one, raised their hand. Including me. So, we went on to bring out this beautiful mirror. And the exercise is that they had to hold the mirror in their hand and they had to look themselves in the eyes. They couldn't look at their cheek. They couldn't look above the mirror. They had to look in the mirror in their eyes and say five things, not one, but five things positive about themselves, what they see when they look in the mirror. Well, that in some cases was the hardest thing that they've ever had to do. One of my friends absolutely broke down. I mean, really broke down. We rallied around her and we gave her three. We wanted to help her out. We gave her three. Now, this is a very compassionate woman. She's a nurse. She's very loving. She's a loyal friend. But she has her days too, and she is a giver. That's why she's a nurse. She's a healer. That's why she's a nurse. So we had her figure out two on her own. There were men in the room as well, my husband and the husband of another friend. And we all took our turns. And the exercise for this week is for them every day when they first get up and get going. I don't care if they're brushing their teeth or fixing their hair or putting their makeup on. When they look in the mirror, even if it's the rearview mirror of the car, to say one positive thing about what they see. It cannot be negative. It cannot be, I wished I was. It has to be one positive thing. Can be about their heart, can be about their hair, can be about their skin, can be about the clothes they're wearing that day, can be about them personally, morally, but it has to be one positive thing. So that's what we're working on this week. Now, this band, the Mrs., was interviewed on the Queen Latifah show, and I am going to play that interview for you. So you can hear that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. Here we go.
All mom band in Austin, Texas, called the Misses, wrote a song called Enough. And it was all about women not beating up on themselves for falling short of perfection. I love the idea of it. The song is rocking. And so to promote their positive message, they went one step further and created a magic mirror that can help women see themselves the way the rest of the world sees them. I know you have friends who you say, oh, you look great today. And they're like, no, I mean, I could do this. The first thing we do is kind of start tearing ourselves down. So I thought this was a brilliant idea. And what they did was they found some women and secretly tracked down the people in their lives who love them most. They took their magic mirror out in public, and here's what happened.
How do you feel when you look in the mirror?
You are an amazing woman, and today I want you to look in this mirror and not just feel okay. You are an inspiration. You care so much about your family.
Hi, sweetheart. Hopefully this is still a surprise. We wanted to tell you how truly inspirational you are to so many people.
You've always put me first, and you've always taken every opportunity to tell me how proud you are of me. And I just want to take this opportunity to tell you how proud I am of you.
I couldn't do any of what I do without your support.
When I fell into a coma last year, I woke up, and my family was there, and you were there.
You were there in the room when I got the call that my dad was dying, and you held me tight and cried with me, and then you took care of my kids.
I'm so lucky to have you as my wife, as my best friend. You're the best mother ever. You're the greatest advocate for our sons, Brent and Harry, and we love you, and you should be very, very proud.
You are beautiful, not just on the outside, but you are so much on the inside. A moment does not go by that people don't see that.
That's the sweetest thing in the whole world. So whoever put this together is just the most wonderful, thoughtful person.
And now, how do you feel? Slide it, girl. What does that say?
I'm enough.
Let me hear it again.
I'm enough. I'm enough.
Turn around.
Oh my gosh, please welcome the founding member of the Mrs., Andra Lemont. Lord. Yes. I'm going to give you a standing over that. I think that was incredible. Andra. I'm about to be a hot mess over here.
You and me both.
Hi, welcome to the show. How was it at the mall that day? How did that make you feel?
Well, you know, sorry.
I know. Why don't you come over here and hang out with me? I need you to be closer to me. You got me.
Sorry.
Come on up here.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, sorry. You all right? It's all right.
It's just a bit of a dream right now that I'm in because I think since, you know, this kind of took off and it kind of happened, I kept thinking, why is this all happening so fast? It just kind of happened all of a sudden. And the day at the
been a huge response.
There's just been this overwhelming response. And
I'm really trying to keep it together because I'm serious. Because when I see that woman, I see my mom. You know, I see the women in my life who work so hard every single day and do so much. And you just want to do something nice for them. And sometimes they don't see it. They don't get that recognition. They start to lose themselves. They don't see how beautiful and great and wonderful they really are. So I just thought it was such a brilliant idea.
Thank you. Well, that's how we felt.
Darn it, Andrea.
It was life-changing. I say, you know, there's a life...
All right, I'm listening. I'm listening. Go for it. All right, go ahead.
It was life-changing. It was life-changing for all of us in the band and anyone who worked on the project. And, you know, to be there and to experience it and to see those women mm-hmm. come to the mirror and watch them have that moment in front of the mirror and to see them see themselves yeah. the way that their daughters
yes.
and people around them saw them.
Right.
And then have them have that moment where they realized that they were enough.
Yeah, just transformed.
It was just amazing. And I, you know, I watched the video. I've probably seen it. I can't tell you how many times. And every time I watch it, I tear up for a different reason.
Right.
Because I think that women are connecting with it around the world. We've had over 4 million views.
Wow.
And it's been translated in multiple languages.
Isn't that awesome?
And it's connecting, which I can't even describe it.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And it's not like you're even saying you need to be greater than. I'm enough. I am enough. Those are very powerful words. So I thank you so much. Keep doing what you're
thank
doing.
You.
And you're a drummer? Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like getting the sticks on the table right now. But just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank
all
you.
The best with the band. And thank you so much for what you've given all of us
thank
today.
You.
And
yeah.
everyone here.
Yeah. We will be bringing it out. So we're going to take the mirror out on a mirror tour. So because we want more
wow.
women to experience it. So I want you to know that we will be taking this on a nationwide tour starting next month.
So it's about to happen.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen this video several times over the last few days, and it still touches my heart because, you know, we are the daughters of the King of Kings, and we are wonderfully made, and yet we don't see ourselves the way Christ created us. I mean, he put time and effort into creating our perfect being. We have gifts and talents that are specifically designed just for us. And yet we still have problems seeing our self-worth as individuals, as women. And, you know, there's a saying that words cut like a knife, and don't they? They cut like a knife, and they affect our heart and our emotions and our mind forever. You know, I shared with them last night that my mom just recently passed away. It'll be 2 weeks. And she was only able to love one of us at a time, and it was my brother and myself. And my mom was moderately MR, and she was born with cerebral palsy. And my grandmother felt sorry for her growing up, so she gave her way on everything. And my mom soon figured out that if I throw a fit, I'll get what I want. And so she did that her whole entire life, and she was 72 years old. So her health was failing. She had all kinds of lung issues and physical problems and things like that. And no matter how she treated me, no matter what she did to me, and my book will be coming out, and the book's called She's Unstoppable. And as soon as it comes out, you'll be able to see that it'll be available just by going to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E-S, as in Sam, Bradshaw, B-R-A-D-S-H-A-W. So facebook.com, Bonnie S. Bradshaw, and there you will find when the book is available. I will be finishing it this weekend. I've actually reserved a hotel room where I'm going to shut myself in this coming weekend, and that's all I'm going to work on. So, but when it finally came time for my mom to go, I was able, and I thank God for this, but I was able to be with her, and I held her hand in ICU. And when she took her last breath, and it just broke my heart. But we met up at the funeral home, and we had to get everything straight. Of course, she had everything written down the way she wanted it, so that was a big help. And my brother and I was asked, did we want to see the will? Well, my mom didn't have anything, and I don't know why she would have written a will. But I told them, yes, I wanted it, and I was told, no, Bonnie, you don't. You don't want the will. So, remember I told you that my mom could only love one person, one of her children at the time? Well, apparently, we found out what she really thought of us. And I am 52 years old, and my mom left her last words to my brother and I were, she was leaving us $1 apiece because that's all we were worth. Now, that could have crushed us, but it didn't. Because I know that my mother was not in her right mind. Nobody could be in their right mind and feel that way about their children, especially children that have bent over backwards for them their whole entire life. And it's like I told my husband, you know, I'm a Christian, so we believe, you know, once you pass away, you're in heaven, you know, or you meet your maker, wherever you're going. So when we get to heaven, we're going to be perfect. We won't need glasses, we won't have freckles, we won't walk with a limp, and whatever the case may be, heart disease or whatever, it's going to be gone. So I told my brother, I said, she's in her right mind now for the very first time in her whole entire life. She can see things that she's done. She can see how much we loved her. She can see, think clearly now for the very first time in her whole entire life. And what a blessing that is. That the next time I see my mom, she's going to be perfect and whole. So, I want to read you something. I want to talk to you guys about something today. And today's truth is, now, as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And you can find that in Luke 10:38-42, and that was the NRSV version. You know, we've all watched the movie Twister, and it kind of reminds me that, you know, when the tornadoes are coming and we have warnings and sirens and everybody's running and heading for the nearest shelter, it's a scary, scary thing. And you're really not thinking clearly, you know, whether it's a tornado or sandstorm or, you know, a hurricane, whatever the case may be. But, you know, life is filled with storms, overcrowded schedules, emotional bankruptcy, and physical exhaustion. Emotions spin out of control and chaos reigns. My first reaction is to run and hide, and I bet yours is too, when it gets really bad, until the storm passes. But I've come to two realizations. First, there will always be another storm. Second, I must learn to prepare for storms before they hit. So whatever the case may be, we've got to prepare for life. You know, there's good in life, and there's bad in life, and there's trials in life, and there's happiness and sorrows. There's just so many things. And to be strong and know that the Lord's hand is in it all, and there's a reason for everything, and many things don't feel good. You know, when the Lord's getting ready to take us to a new level, Satan doesn't want to see that. Oh, no, no, he does not want to see that, because when we're taken to another level, we're stronger, and the Lord's building us. He's building our character. He's building our ministry. He's building our faith. So that's definitely in the way of what Satan wants. He only wants to destroy, and that's why Satan gives us instant gratification, and that, unfortunately, is what our youth want today. Accept everybody for the way they are. And, you know, I'm not saying judge people, put people down, because thank God that Christ loves us right where we are. We can be a hot mess and walk into church, and he's going to love us no matter what. And when we give our life to Christ, he's going to accept us right where we are. So as Christians, and I believe that's one reason why Christians get a bad rap, because we look at things on an earthly scale sometimes. You know, there's this big thing about, well, I'll put it to you like this. Not everybody is the same. And we're just not cookie cutters. Thank goodness for that. And people don't live the same way. And not everybody walks in the same Christian way as others. And if we turn our back on people because, oh, they're this or they're that, or, oh, they don't dress the way we dress, or, she's shameful. Look at her. She's showing this, showing that, or this person's transgender, or this person's this, or this person's that. No, 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 no. We don't have to accept the way people live their lives. But they need to see Christ through us. Let Christ do the work. We just need to be there to introduce them to Christ. Christ doesn't hate the things that people do. He hates the... Let's see, he doesn't hate people because of the things that they do. He hates the sin. So it's not our job to sit here and say, oh, well, I can't talk to you because you are this, that, and the other. You're, you know, even prostitutes. Oh, I can't be seen with you because I'll get a bad reputation. You know what? This is a temporary life that we're living here on earth, and it's going to be over in a flash of an eye. And it is not, our job to sit back and decide who we are going to talk to about Christ and about salvation, about heaven and hell. That is not our job. And if we think that our big girl pants are so big that we have our own agenda for heaven, then we've got another thing coming, and we're going to definitely be answering for that. You know, I had a dream many years ago, and I shared this the other night, that we were all in heaven, my family, and we were looking down, and heaven's floor was made of glass, so we could see straight down into hell. And there were so many people that the Lord brought to all those around us, and even us, that the Lord said, tell them about me. Tell them who I am. Tell them what I can do for them. Tell them about eternal life. And we were busy, or we had this, or we were embarrassed, or people, you know, oh, they might cuss me out, or they might do this or do that, and they walked away. And all these people down in hell were reaching up to heaven and crying, and they were in agony, and they were saying, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me about heaven? Could you imagine being in heaven and looking down and seeing people that would have changed their ways, that would have turned out to be good, faithful Christians, that would have led so many other people to Christ, that maybe could have turned out to be missionaries and took Bibles across the world into countries that we don't even know exist right now. And lives would have been saved if we would have just talked to that one person. I think about it all the time. So most women I know struggle with this issue of balance. It's hard to see and keep boundaries in place. And that's an everyday struggle, women. I mean, it just really is. It's an everyday struggle for everybody. We end up just doing the next thing, you know, moving on to the next thing. Balance becomes a casualty of this ongoing battle. And that's a daily struggle. Frustration and darkness prosper in an imbalanced life, thriving in the vacuum of a clear purpose and sure direction. The solution is to establish a holy balance, a balance that only God can bring. The lives of Mary and Martha offer a profoundly simple but practical three-step plan for living a balanced life of power and purpose. Martha's a girl after my own heart, and she truly is, because she's a perfectionist, and that's an issue that I personally have. Everything needs to be perfect, and I strive to do it over and over and over and over again until I feel it is. So, a perfectionist, and recognized by all who knew her as disciplined and strong-willed. Anybody that knows me will tell you that I'm a very determined person, and I have a very strong will. You can ask any of my teachers. And energetic. I have more energy than most. Martha seemed to know who she was and where she was going. Because of her leadership in the community, people listened when she spoke. Martha was single, financially secure, and owned her own home, which she shared with her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. They were a close family living in a small town named Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. Martha could have been considered the Betty Crocker of Bethany. She had the gift in hospitality and entertained often, freely welcoming friends as well as strangers into her home, religious leaders, business executives, and virtually anyone in need, including her close friend, Jesus. Jesus knew they had an open invitation to this home. Martha seemed to be an intense woman with deep feelings and sure convictions. She loved truth and was quick to share her struggle, her strong beliefs. The mark of an unwavering faith. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we all had unwavering faith? And no matter what the trial, we just stood firm, knowing that there's something better that's going to come out of it. See, Martha certainly had faults, just as we do. I am convinced that at times she may have missed some of the higher moments of life because she was too busy. Sound familiar? Do you know people who are busy being busy? I know people who are busy being busy. They really don't accomplish anything because they're just so busy. Their hands are moving, their feet's moving, their mind's moving, their mouth's moving, but nothing really comes of it. Mary, the sister of Martha, is an entirely different story. She lived for the higher moment in life, a free spirit. Mary probably saw little value in a clean house, cooked meals, and strict schedules. Nothing could compare to the cherished treasures of peace and freedom. Wow, that seems like a very peaceful life, doesn't it? I don't think Mary missed many of the Kodak moments of life. I suspect she was an avid learner and thrived on anything that compelled her to think and reflect. Mary was almost childlike in her hunger for truth, especially spiritual truth. Like her sister, Mary felt things deeply. Sometimes those feelings drove her to do things that others could not understand. For example, it was unusual for a woman to sit among men. But Mary did. She sat at the feet of Jesus while he taught his disciples. Lost in the wonder of hearing new truth, Mary seemed obvious to her critic not appear to notice, even care, what people around her thought. That would be great, wouldn't it? To live life, to go to work, to go to church, to talk about Jesus, to do all the things that we do in life and not really care about what other people think, just Jesus. That's all that we would live our daily life to care about, what he thought of what we did, not the people that we're down here trying to reach. She found it easy to abandon herself to those she loved and thrived on the relationships in her life, relationships with people like the man named Jesus. Mary was brave to go against the norm by daring to be so different and perhaps even live in the shadow of her very successful and highly regarded sister took courage. Mary was human and imperfect. To some, she may have seemed lazy and flighty. Mary is often considered the spiritual one, while Martha is thought to be the not-so-spiritual one. We tend to look at their lives and say we should be like Mary. I believe the lives of both women offer invaluable life lessons about balance. God is not the author of confusion, nor does he create chaos. That's Satan, guys. Chaos and confusion, not God. Setting his own children up to down in the ragged seas and burnout and exhaustion? No, that's not of God. We do a great job of that all on our own because we allow the enemy to seek in and confuse us. But we can learn important lessons from Mary and Martha, apply them to our lives today, and experience a balance that will bring peace, purpose, and power to our crazy world. So which one are you more like? Mary or like Martha? I know which one I'm more like, but I think it would be fun to be more free-spirited, more to not care about what other people thought, because I knew I was doing the right thing and I was following God's lead. That would be incredible. I think that if we stay in prayer and we really feel that we really feel, that we are the daughters of a king and we are beautifully made. And if we truly in our hearts believe it, wow, what things we could accomplish. So what can you accomplish today? What things would you want to feel in your heart this week about yourself? Think about it. I want to play you a song and I hope you enjoy. It's called I Am the Daughter of the King.
Let my life sing. daughter of the king.
I hope you enjoyed that. And we are the daughter of the King, the Almighty God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, the creator of all things. So we are wonderfully made and perfectly made. And if we believe that God does not make mistakes, at least that's what our Bible says, the Word of God. And if God cannot lie and he cannot be a part of sin, of course, lying is a sin. So if he can't be a part of that, then why is it so hard for us to believe it? You know, when we make mistakes in life, we're our own worst critic. So we make mistakes, no matter how little, no matter how large they are, and we ask forgiveness. You know that God casts them into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. And the Word says that. But what happens to us when maybe we didn't accomplish a goal that we really wanted to accomplish? Maybe somebody let us down, so we feel like we're not good enough. Maybe your husband or your wife left you, so you feel like a failure. Maybe, and these maybes can go on and on and on and on and on. Maybe you failed a class you were taking in college. Maybe you took on too much in life and you said yes too many times. And wow, have I done that? And I am the world's worst at that. I want to make everybody happy. So everybody that comes to me wants to tell me, oh, please, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you be a part of this? And I want to say yes to everything. So I found myself getting caught up in saying yes too much, letting people down, and then people getting mad at me because I couldn't fulfill all the yeses. So, you know, we ask forgiveness. And Christ, he cast him in the sea of forgetfulness. But then something will happen that we get down on ourselves. And the first place we go to, and it's normal, is self-pity. And then you start remembering all your failures, all your mistakes, all your sins that you've asked forgiveness for. And then you turn around and you start asking forgiveness again. So Christ is like, I mean, picture this. Like, what is she talking about? I don't know what she's talking about. I don't remember that. Because his Word says he doesn't. So don't you think it's about time that we stop beating ourselves up? We stop with the remembering our past, dwelling. Because, you know, it's called past for a reason, ladies. Because it's in the past. It's gone. There is nothing we can do. We can't bring it back. We can't change it. We can't dwell on it. We got to let it go. So, ladies, let it go. Whatever the case may be, let it go. The present is now, right now. What can we do now to make things better for us, for our life? What is it that you dream about? What is it that the Lord put this passion in your soul and for some reason you can't get away from it and it excites you when you think about it, but yet maybe you haven't done anything to bring it to life, to birth this project. If God brings you to it, ladies, you can finish this sentence. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. Of course he will. He's not going to set you up for failure. And then you hear this little voice in your head going, well, how do you know it's of God? Well, how do you know it's not Satan trying to set you up? Well, number one, God isn't going to set you up for failure. God isn't going to bring you something bad in your life. He is a God of goodness. So, think about, what is your gifts and talents in this world? What is your passion? Maybe you've had something happen in your life that you could write a best-selling novel. Maybe there's a story in your life that could touch somebody else. Could you imagine that your life and your words could change the whole entire life of another person, but yet you're scared to start? Or maybe you don't know where to start. Start from the beginning. Start from where this one situation that keeps popping into your head. Just start writing. Because you could write 1,000 pages and then go back through it and pick what needs to be there. Reorganize. It doesn't have to be organized. My book is a hot mess. I mean a hot mess. Because I write down the memories that come into my thoughts at the time. And they could be 10 years apart. And then I could jump back 5 years. And then jump ahead 10 years. But soon, this coming weekend, it'll be finished. And then I'll organize everything in the place that it should be. And then, my very first book, I've decided to self-publish. And there's reasons that I personally decided to do that. I don't have to. I've got a publisher that would like to do it for me, but I'm going to self-publish my first book. And then I'm going to start on a workbook. And then I'm going to start on another book. And I want to do a devotional, which that will probably be done coinciding with the workbook. So I'll probably work on both of those together. But ladies, maybe you were meant to be a Girl Scout leader to influence young girls in your community. Maybe, guys, you were supposed to be a Boy Scout leader or Boy Scout master, Cub master, I believe is what they called. Because our young men need it. You know, forget Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. Maybe you were created to start a new group. Maybe it's a Christian Girl Scout group or Christian Boy Scout group, and it's all surrounded by Christian morals and values, and that you can go into different places and use the word God. But we need men to stand up to the plate and teach our young men how to be gentlemen. When's the last time you heard that word, gentleman? I haven't heard it in forever. I walk into my kids' high schools and elementary school, and what I hear is astonishing to me. We have little kids whose vocabulary is sad. We have teenagers who have no clue about morals and values. Only because they haven't really been taught. And they haven't gone to church. They haven't had mentors to mentor them. They just don't know. So maybe you've been given a gift or talent to start some kind of a neighborhood club. And maybe that neighborhood club will grow into clubs all over America, like the Girl and Boy Scouts Club. The Girl and Boy Club. Yeah, not Scout. And who knows? Maybe you were meant to be an art teacher. Maybe you're pretty good at art. And there's kids out there who can't afford it. But yet you could teach them. And maybe during that, somebody will come along that can write grants. And there's plenty of art grants out there. And they would be willing to write you a grant, so you can apply for grants to pay so that these children who can't afford it can come and learn art for free, or vocal lessons, or any kind of instrument lessons, or speech. many of our youth today, they don't know how to stand up in front of an audience and speak. They're intimidated, or their vocabulary just isn't there. So, my husband and I, God gave us this vision, and he told us to start a teen church. A church full, not a ministry, a whole full-blown teen church. So that's what we've done. We are so amazed that everything, the stage material, chairs, tables, the cafe, the sound equipment, the sound room, we have NAB machines and Coke machines and food. And I just had a conference this past weekend, the Women Who Win, and I went to pay one of our, well, the keynote speaker, and she wouldn't even take the envelope. She turned around and said, "What is that?" And I said, "It's your pay." And she said, "No." She told me, she says, "Bonnie, you've been such a great friend to me, and I can see the Lord's passion in your heart and what you're trying to do for these kids. I don't even want to know how much money is in that envelope. I want you to take that envelope, and you put that in the teen church, and you purchase the things that you need for these kids. That's what I want you to do with that money." I about cried standing right there, because this is a lady that is paid well to come speak. And we, you know, this was a total free thing, and it was in a small town of Suffolk, Virginia, and we didn't bring in but so much money, but what we were paying her, she donated back. So now the Lord has laid on my heart, we're going to do a battle of the bands, so we're looking for Christian bands to come in of all ages to play, and now he's laid on my heart for a 15-passenger van or small bus. And he told me, put it out there. So I put it out there on Facebook this morning. And my Facebook page is Bonnie S. Bradshaw. So Facebook.com, Bonnie S. Bradshaw. And I don't typically do that, but the Lord told me to do that, that somebody is going to donate a 15-passenger van or small bus. Well, I believe in God, and I believe God's word. So I'm just waiting. Because somebody could have one that they don't need anymore, and they decide to donate it to the kids. Maybe it's a car dealership out there who needs a little publicity, which surely they could get, and they need a tax write-off for the end of the year. And we're almost halfway through the year right now. So it is very possible that somebody hearing my voice today, or somebody that runs across my Facebook page, and I've asked everybody, if you're listening to this, run to my Facebook page. I've got less than a minute here, and tag that and share it on your page and ask people to share it on their page. And pretty soon it could go global, because my husband and I have already said we're here in Virginia, and we are right now we're here in Virginia, but we will travel wherever, within reason, to pick up whatever we need to pick up as far as the van or bus, because we know that this is something that God said, and we know that it's going to happen, just like he told us about the teen church, start a teen church. Well, we did, and within 1 month, it was built and ready to go. So guys, I only have 10 seconds left. So God bless you. Love you guys. And until next Thursday, may you be blessed. Love you. Bye-bye.